Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, also known as the Word is the Way to Life podcast. You know, that says in the scriptures that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. And he has certainly showed us the way to have life and have it more abundantly. Did you know that before we were called Christians, we were called the Way, because they followed the Way, who was Jesus. So this week, as we've been doing this journey through the Psalm, we started at Psalm 51. We're going to conclude in Psalm 100. And this week, we're looking at Psalm 77. Now, Psalm 77, the instruction here is for Jeduthun. He is the choir director, and it's a psalm of Asaph. New Living Translation says this, Psalm 77. Hear God's word. I cried out to God without holding back. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord, and all night long I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven pleading. There can be no joy for me until he acts. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I'm too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended, and when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul to think about the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again show me favor? In his unfailing love, gone forever? Has his promise permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be kind? He has slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, well, this is my fate, that the blessings of the Most High have changed to hatred. Oh, I recall all I have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts, and I cannot stop thinking about them. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of miracles and wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. You have redeemed your people by your strength, the descendants of Jacob and of Joseph by your might. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked at its very depth. The clouds poured down their rain. The thunder rolled and crackled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, and your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. Wow! May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of Psalm 77. Sometimes I think we may be so overwhelmed by life's problems that maybe we kind of cried out like the psalmist did. And we find it hard to see or feel evidence of God's love in our life. You know, such dark moments, we have them. Where do we turn? Well, in John 3:16, my favorite verse, it's the first verse I ever memorized since I've been in this world as a young man. Used to read it in school when it was my turn to read scripture. That's what I always wrote and read. What do you think it might be? Well, it might be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. If you'll notice that John says God loved us, not he loves us. John used the past tense here. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us today. He does. Rather, it places emphasis on the one undeniable and unchanging proof of God's love. For us, it's the gift that he has already given to us, his son, to save us from all of our sins. Hence, I think that in moments of despair, we can look back at that wonderful salvation that we have and know that God is on our side. For God so loved the world. Now, Psalm 77, I think, also conveys a similar lesson, because here the psalmist is in deep distress, and he does the right thing by turning to God But this only increased his torment because God does not comfort him. At least he didn't think he did. He has endured many sleepless nights and reached a point where he can't find the words to say or to pray. He casts his mind back to difficult and different nights when joyful songs were on his lips. But I think the memory only makes his present suffering even worse. I don't know about you, but I think about my old life occasionally, and the devil likes to play tricks on my mind and different things. And I come to the belief that I said, okay, devil, you want to play tricks on my mind. I remember all the things that I did, and you're right. But, I love the buts and the ifs, God has forgiven me and set me on a new path. So, thank you, devil, for reminding me that how my life has changed since Jesus came into my heart. I love that little song, since Jesus came into my heart. Yeah, and I give the glory and praise to God. And I thank God that I have a memory, that I can remember where I was and what I'm like now and what happened in between. That's the testimony of God's grace. But I digress. I think the psalmist is asking God a series of questions, reminding him that he had promised to show his people favor, mercy, and compassion. You can find that in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. And I think the psalmist hopes that these questions will provoke God to help him. Well, God does hear our prayers, and I like to pray out loud, and I'm thinking that's what the psalmist was doing. Oh, he wrote it down too, but I think he was saying it out loud. And then if we look at verse 10, it's the turning point to the psalm. Until this point, all the psalmist's thoughts were about his problems, and now he decides to think differently. He said, I'll consider all of your works, verse 12. So he needs God to work a miracle in his life. So he remembers the most dramatic miracle of all. What did he do? He recalls how God saved his people from bondage in Egypt, climactically through the parting of the Red Sea. If God was powerful enough to deliver his people, then he too can deliver me. That's the truth. And as we read the psalm, we might feel uncomfortable about how this suffering, and he's speaking to God through all of his suffering, and that's okay. God wants to talk to us, and he wants us to talk to him. He isn't just bold, the psalmist, but accusatory and disrespectful a little bit to the Lord, too. But the Lord doesn't rebuke him. Actually, God had ensured this psalmist, when he was weeping, that we have the Bible, to all these records and different things, like personal testimonies of everybody. Now, while I think there's a line not to be crossed in speaking to God, think about old Job. Old Job never cursed God. Who knew that he was in all these trials, and, you know, they were permitted. But I don't think God caused him, but the trials that Job was experiencing was from the old devil continuing to tempt him like the devil did in Jesus in Luke chapter 4 when he was in the wilderness. And all of that, Job never cursed God. It gives us divine permission to talk to God and to be honest in speaking to God. So my question for all of us is, where do you go when you feel disappointed with God? We're human. I think we all at one time in our life and different things get disappointed with God. Where are you at, God? Why have, you know? And then next thing you know, we look back and we see how our prayers were answered and how he put us back on the right path. So we go to the place where your mighty arm of redemption for your people is. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the psalmist, but more importantly, thank you for the cross. It is because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, then he cried out, which was prophesied in Psalm 22, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And you wonder about that. If he's God's son, why did God forsake him? Well, what happened, I think, God can't be in the presence of sin And there Jesus, his son, hanging on a cross with the whole sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. And for that brief moment, Jesus felt that separation from God. But when he gave up the ghost and he said, "It is finished," all those sins of the world that was placed on the shoulder of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, was forgiven. Wow. Then the veil in the temple was rent in two, giving us direct access to God through Jesus Christ. No longer a priest is needed. No longer anybody else. No, you can go directly to the throne room of grace yourself, because you have the password, Jesus, your friend. Wow. Has there ever been times in your life when you felt disappointed with God? I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I hadn't always been a preacher. So even as a preacher, sometimes I wonder, oh, okay, God, I don't know. I wanted to go this way and that way, and I don't know. I think it was, but woe is me. But what causes that disappointment? I think Bible passages that we have looked at over the years and different things, and Bible passages can help you in such time. But what does the cross of Jesus teach us about God's love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son as the perfect Lamb of God. Because the Old Testament people knew there could not be any forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, the blood sacrifices. But now his son comes into the world and experiences everything that you and I experience, up to and including death. But he became the sacrificial blood for the forgiveness of the sins of humanity. Wow, what a wonderful thing God has done for us, something that we could not do for ourselves. Well, we're grateful that you tune in to The Word is the Way to Life, because The Word is the Way to Life. And we challenge you and encourage you to study the Word of God for yourself, and hope and pray that you have attending a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. We at Bethel United Methodist Church are that. We believe the Bible, we teach the Bible, and we plant seeds about God's grace and love so that you too can be set free from all this crazy stuff in the world. Because the end result is we know where we're going to go. Jesus said, "In this world you're going to have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world." And you say, "Well, okay, preacher, well, why do I got all these challenges and all this stuff?" Well, this is my humble opinion. You know, it says in that little book of Jude that the saints, that's you and I, anybody who believes in Jesus is a saint of the living God. The saints are going to return with Jesus to set up his kingdom here on earth. You say, "Well, okay, well, that's the case, then why do we got all these trials and tribulations?" Well, we're overcomers. Read the book of Revelation. We've been overcome. The Lamb of God has overcome and give us the opportunity to share in that joy and that victory. So he wants well-trained saints in heaven to come back with him to set up his kingdom here on earth. So take heart. You're going to be in training until he comes for you, or we go home to be with him. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen.